text for our message comes from a gospel reading from John 21. We open with prayer. Lord God, we know the trick of the devil is to get us, to tempt us into sin and then to turn it around in our face and to tell us we are unlovable and unworthy of you, to push us away from you, Lord. We thank you that you call us back and restore us and remind us of your steadfast love for us. The words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay. So our last topic for Lent is the topic of love. Again, we've been doing this series on how sometimes we get stuck in our life with sin, like a computer gets stuck, and what we need is we need a reboot through repentance, where we turn from our sin to God, who gives us refreshment, restoration, forgiveness, and hope. So as we look at the topic of love, I just want us to think about how powerful it is to have a story about love. If you think about your favorite movie or your favorite book that you've ever read, it probably has to do with some sort of love story. I'm not talking about simply a romantic love story, right? Although maybe that's there. But some of the greatest stories and novels of all time have a story of love, a story of amazing self-sacrifice towards someone who's unlovable. A story of amazing love towards someone who's unworthy. A story of amazing forgiveness and restoration. And yet what we see in the Bible is the ultimate love story. We see a story of God's steadfast love for his people, who are all too often unlovable and unworthy of his love. It's the story of what the lengths that God was willing to go to get us back as his people. And that's the whole story of the Bible, really. It's a story of love between God and his people. And yet we see even in the gospel reading that Jesus does this even now on a daily basis after he dies and rises from the dead. He still continues to bring restoration to his people. And we see that with the story of Peter that we have here. But let's get a little bit of background about this story first. It was actually at the Passover meal on Thursday night that Peter was talking to Jesus, and he told him, "Lord," right after this Passover meal, right? He says, "One of you is going to betray me." He says, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death." And Jesus says, "Simon, Simon, you know, Satan demanded to have you that he might sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." And he also tells them, "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows three times, you will deny me three times." Shortly after Peter says he's ready to go to prison and to death, they go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus is praying. He says, stay awake with me. My heart is overwhelmed with the suffering I must go through. Stay awake and pray. And what does Peter do? He falls asleep. Even within hours of his great profession of faith, there he is, asleep three times, even unable to do that. And shortly after this, Peter decides to follow Jesus to the courtyard. Maybe it was willpower to show that maybe he really won't fall away. Maybe it was curiosity. Maybe he was just wanting to figure out what happened next. But there in the high priest's courtyard, as he's watching the trial of Jesus before the high priest, this is what happens. They kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together. Peter sat down among them. Then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, this man also was with him. But he denied it, saying, woman, I do not know him. And a little later, someone else saw him and said, you also are one of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, certainly this man also was with him, for he is a Galilean. Peter said, man, I do not know what you're talking about. And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. That's the last we hear of Peter until the resurrection. What we find in the Gospel of John is Peter is going back to his old way of life as a fisherman. And he no longer was following the call of God to follow me. Instead, he started to follow himself and his old ideas. Even after Jesus had appeared to Peter, the disciples were in a locked room. Still, that wasn't enough. Still, Peter was carrying around, whether it was fear, or there was probably the guilt of what he had done. I mean, can you imagine denying the Lord and then looking straight at Jesus, at his face, knowing exactly that you had betrayed him? Guilt and the shame was probably unbearable. But yet as he's out there fishing, he hears a voice of a man on the shore saying, put down your nets over there. And he does, and he gets this miraculous catch of fish, and one of his disciples says, look, it's the Lord. And he runs out to meet him. But he still carrying around all that shame. And so it's here in that story that the Lord brings restoration to his wandering disciple. So many of those love stories, maybe in the classic Hollywood sense, are the story of two people that love each other and then have a falling out and then get back with each other by the end of the movie. Some of the more classic ones, right? This is kind of what's happened with Peter and Jesus. They did have a loving relationship, but after Peter messed up, he'd fallen away from Jesus. He's back to the old way of his life. Yet we see Jesus come to him and call to him and restore him. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" It's interesting because Simon, son of John, is the old name of Peter. Peter is the name that Jesus gives him as his disciples. "Yes, Lord," Peter replied, "you know that I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know that I love you." "Take care of my sheep," Jesus said. The third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked him three times. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." If you've ever been or heard about a relationship breakup, sometimes the excuse is, "It's not you, it's me." You know? Well, here it's clearly Peter can say that. Right? "It's not you, it's me. I'm the reason why this relationship is kind of falling away. Because I denied you, I ran away, I've been wandering from you. But Jesus has been waiting, continuing to reach out to him." So a third time he asked him, not to badger him, but to restore him fully for the three times that he denied him. And after that, Peter's life has changed dramatically. Because that's what God does when he restores our lives, is that he changes them. So that we're no longer enslaved by our sin, by our shame and our guilt, and our past, and our former identities, and the mission of life. But then have a new one. We follow Jesus under his grace and under his leadership. So there's things that we can learn about love in our gospel story. If we want to know about love, we have to look at God, don't we? That love is forgiving. What's the thing that will break a relationship? Sin. What's the thing that restores that relationship? Forgiveness. Jesus says, whenever we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive them, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Love is acting. Although we might have feelings about our love for somebody, ultimately our love for someone is displayed in our actions. So when Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" he just doesn't say, "Well, do you feel like you really love me?" He tells him, "Follow me. And follow me. And take care of my sheep. Be the shepherd I called you to be. Right? Do the task I appointed for you." And love is restoring. What it seeks to do. It seeks to mend the things that are broken and to restore the things that were lost. So we can say, love is Jesus. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us, sent his Son to be our sacrifice. Give us forgiveness, to give us restoration with God, with one another. You see, Jesus demonstrates his love for us in action, sending his Son for us, and continuing to reach out to us and bring us back. Restore us. We see it again in John 3:16. God loves, so he sent his one and only Son. His love compelled him to action for the good of those he loved. So we say God's love is restoring. That's what it does. That's what Jesus seeks to do above all else, is restore people's lives for eternity. Remember there the story of the woman caught in adultery. So he picks her up. Says, I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more. See, what was Peter's downfall was his overconfidence in himself to follow after Jesus. He had a higher estimation of himself because he didn't want to admit his own shortcomings. So when the time came to put his life on the line, he got afraid because he loved his life more than his Savior. But after Jesus came to him and restored him, that changed. Yes, I'm sure he still had those same feelings, the same concern for safety. But this time he wouldn't give in. He would get to the point of even laying down his life to be crucified as well for the name of Jesus. And to be one of the greatest missionaries in the New Testament. Sense the power of Jesus' resurrection and restoration living in us. Not that we have to be a Peter and do what he did. That he changes and restores our lives so that we can do the service that he's called us to do and use the gifts that he's given us to bring restoration to a dying world that needs Jesus. C.S. Lewis says, a car is made to run on gasoline, and it would not run properly on anything else. Now God designed the human machine to run on himself. He himself is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn, the food our spirits were designed to feed on. There is no other. We are created to have the love of Jesus in our hearts. We cannot function the way we're intended to until that happens. That's what the cross does to us. It pours the love of Christ into our hearts. It heals our shame, our brokenness, and our fears. It fills them with grace, with joy, with peace, with eternal hope. So we can think about the Bible as the greatest love story ever told. And that's why one of my favorite hymns is, my song is Love Unknown, which we'll sing later on. Why don't we speak this together?
Here might I stay and sing, no story so divine. Never was love, dear King, never was grief like thine. This is my friend, in whose sweet praise I all my days could gladly spend.
You can search through all the pages of history, you can search through every story of every person that has ever lived. And yet you will not find a greater display of love and sacrifice than the one displayed in Jesus Christ. so we can say, like Peter did, Satan tried to destroy me, but Almighty God restored me. His name, amen. The peace of God which surpasses all human understanding will guard and keep our hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus. Amen.